Greetings once again, dear listener, to our final week as your Hillbilly Holiday Host. I am Chauncey.
And I am Jesco. If you are joining us for the first time this week, let us get you up to speed.
Jesco and I have been making our way through the book Sleeping in Your Debunk Bed by author Herman Perfunctoris.
That we have. And our goal this month has been to prove or disprove the existence of one Santa Claus. We have been interviewing different folks in our community who claim to have seen the elusive holiday monolith firsthand. So far, however, it doesn't seem as though we have made any progress.
Week one, we talked to a Christmas crooner who thought he saw a pantsless Santa dangling from a tree.
And week two, we talked to a limo driver who claims to have seen Santa Claus sneaking around and committing adultery behind Mrs. Claus's back.
Last week, we spoke to our trailer park maintenance man who claims to have seen directly inside Santa's workshop after inhaling some toxic fumes.
Though we appreciate these individuals taking time out their days to come regale us with their helpful accounts, we are still coming up empty in our quest.
Yes, Jesco, and the window on completing our objective is almost closed, so desperate times call for desperate measures. We have spent a lot of time relying on physical eyewitness accounts, so I figured why not try to get metaphysical and connect straight to the source.
And though I don't necessarily trust this sort of voodoo, I do trust Chauncey's judgment, and I'm open to trying new things. So without further ado, here to help us get in contact with the man himself, our resident trailer park medium, Madam Zabrono.
Good evening, gentlemen. At long last, you have come to me to aid you on your journey.
Yes. We thank you, madam. I know you've been suggesting to us that we use your abilities from the very beginning. But if I'm being honest, I've watched plenty of YouTube compilations of mediums being debunked that you can understand where I've been a little hesitant to enlist your help. Chauncey here, though, has always been open to it.
Well, what you have witnessed from those amateurs were lazy displays of half-hearted clairvoyance, saying and doing whatever nonsense that will fool the layman into giving them a television program or allowing them access to every late-night talk show. I, however, am not concerned with wealth and whether or not my face is on a Vitis box. My passion is to make friends with the clairaudience, patent pending, understand the desperate cries of the tormented souls in the great beyond, to go past our mental understanding of time and space to break bread over the ethereal plane.
Sure. Okay. We don't need you to talk to any tormented souls or eat bread on a plane or nothing.
Yeah. Madam Zabrono, we really just need you to help us get in touch with Santa Claus.
Yeah. So I don't know if you need to eat a couple chakras or something, but maybe we could get this show on the road.
Very well. Before I begin, I must first ask for payment up front. Though I do not care for monetary gain, the spirits do like their Lululemon.
Yeah, that's totally fair. $10, right?
20, actually. My extrasensory perception has been slightly weakened due to some nocturnal activities last evening.
Nocturnal activities? So because you're hungover from a night with spirits, you are upcharging us?
It's okay, Jesco. I brought some extra dough just in case.
Thank you, my child. Okay, here I go. I'm starting to feel something. I can feel my mind reaching, establishing a connection.
Okay, now we're talking.
No talking. Allow assent, please. Once the connection is broken, it may be a while to be reestablished.
Oh, my apologies. Please resume.
I'm starting to feel something. Visions are coming into my view. I am now pulling up my mental navigation system, looking for...
I thought we weren't supposed to be talking. Kris Kringle.
Establishing connection to... Yes, here he is. He says, sign up now to meet Christian singles in your area.
Hold up a sec. What exactly did you search for in your little brain computer?
I searched for exactly who you told me. Kris Kringle.
Right. Well, you must have hit the wrong key on your cerebral keyboard, because that sounds like Christian Mingle. We gave you $20 just to get your wires crossed.
Well, hold on, Jesco. It sounds like a simple mistake. Kris Mingle does sound like Kris Kringle, after all.
Okay, fine. Madam Zabrono, why don't you go ahead and give it another shot?
Yes, indeed, I will. But first, I may require a little more earthly currency to get the auras back in order.
Okay, wait a minute.
It's okay, Jessica, I got it. If she needs to readjust her mental compass or whatever, then I'm happy to help with that.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, dear. You have the faith of a child, and as such will be rewarded. $20 more and I can resume.
Sure. Here you go.
Okay. I'm getting a voicemail message.
A voicemail? Like for a telephone?
Mm-hmm.
Can you leave a message?
I'm trying. The voicemail box is full.
Okay. I've had enough. This is getting ridiculous. Had I known we could just call Santa on the phone, we would have just done that.
Oh, no. It is not that simple.
You know what, Madam Zabrono? I'm starting to think you a quack, just like all those other mediums on YouTube. Why don't you make like a duck and waddle your way out of here?
Oh, well, I have never been so disrespected in my life. You have come to me for help, and this is how I'm treated. I have had enough.
Wait, wait, Madam Zabrono, I'm sorry. Jessica's just a little discouraged because we want Santa to exist so bad, and this month has proven to be a failure so far. It's just tough to come up empty week after week.
Okay, I understand. Perhaps I can give it one more shot. My auras, however, are out of alignment, so I require more.
Oh, great. She's doing that money gesture with her fingers. You seeing this, Chauncey?
Yes, yes. Here you go. Now, please, one more shot, Madam Zabrono.
Oh, wait. I'm getting a call on the other line.
Well, tell them you'll call them back.
Yes, okay. All right, back to this present connection. Yes. Oh, I think I hear someone.
Ooh-wee, you see that, Jesco?
I hear him. Do the names Jesco and Chauncey mean anything to you?
Yeah, that's our names.
Yes. I found him. He has a message for you.
Huh. Well, I'll be.
He says, every girl's crazy. But a sharp-dressed man...
Hold up. That thing old ZZ Top.
My connection is fading. It's gone.
Well,
Just as I suspected, Chauncey. She's a crock. Sorry, Jessica. You were right. I guess I just wanted it to work so bad.
I know you did, Chauncey. And I ain't mad at you for wanting to exhaust all our resources. Her, however.
Sorry, gentlemen. I did my best. But sometimes, visions don't always transpire how you want them to.
Oh, no you don't, Rhonda. You swindle enough people in this here trailer park with your hillbilly hokum. That accent ain't fooling nobody. We want our $60 back.
Yeah, I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt, Rhonda, but you just a predator. If Santa were here, he'd put you in a headlock and stuff your mouth full of coal.
Well, you know what, dummies? He's not. You know why? 'Cause he ain't real. This whole charade you two been doing has been a fruitless labor, dummies. I am more than happy to bamboozle gullible chumps like you and all those other dopes around the world. There's a sucker born every minute, and I'm gonna take them for what they got. Fare thee well, stupid.
Whoa! What in tarnation was all that?
I tell you what it was, Chauncey. It was the ramblings of a crazy person and ensuing sounds of karma claws coming to collect.
Well, I'll be. If this proves anything, it's that Santa's real, baby. I knew it all along. I truly never doubted it for a second. And just like that, our journey has officially come to an end.
What a wild ride this has been. Speaking of wild rides, this week the guys revisit the Power Rangers Command Center to see the show's high-strung side character abduct children from all around the world in order to sing Christmas carols with them. It's Alpha's Magical Christmas. Stay tuned, because the Radcast will be right back.
Now that the children are all here, Alpha,
we now return.
Let the party begin.
To the Radcast.
Here's your chance to spend the night before Christmas with Alpha.
This must be what the writers Johnny Carson feel like. You're saying my words. Hey, wait a minute. I recognize those words. I wrote those words. I wrote them in the bathroom this morning.
I was telling Matt, it was cool because I think you're the only guest who's ever joined us for one of those skits.
Yep.
Like, because it's usually just Matt and I. And I know I was just joking. Of course, I was just joking in our text, but it wouldn't be something that would be beyond us. I was like, well, I do a good girl voice. So it's like, hey, if we ever had a female character, I was like, we won't let anybody in. I do a good girl voice.
Yeah.
I do a good girl voice. See, so I just put on my little girl voice. I just put on my makeup. I'm going to go hang out and find some boys.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been able to bring the pathos.
Yeah, that's true.
Madame Zabrono.
That is true.
You don't know what it's like to be a woman in the world just trying to make a living.
That's exactly right. He just sort of just, it just would have been, just would have been stereotypes you picked up from TV shows.
Yeah.
And I mean, I did go to school to study theater.
True.
So, you know.
This is very true.
But I was telling Matt, I was like, it's just.
I had to give very little stage direction, just like Eastern European accent, and then just let you go.
I even sent you notes. I was like, what if she did this instead?
All right,
okay.
But I was like to Matt, I was like, it was just cool to like, I'm just so used to reading Matt's words or he reads mine, but I'm like hearing somebody else read one of our words. I was like, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, it must be like people, when they wrote for Johnny Carson felt like.
Or Jay Leno.
Yes.
This must be how Conan O'Brien felt.
Yes.
Before he was Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote for who else?
Like Robert Schmigel.
Robert Schmigel.
Yeah, like Robert Schmigel. I mean, it's been I want to say a revolving door of people in the last 30 years, but he's kept pretty much, you know, relatively the same writing staff outside of like maybe like Louis C.K. was in that first few seasons of Writing Staff, and of course he went off and became who he was. But then he kept people for a long time. So I would want to say, oh, so many people. It's like, well, maybe give or take for a few people here and there, it's been a lot of the same people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's not a toxic asshole like your Jimmy Fallons and your Jimmy Kimmels for people who or your Jay Lenos who leave those shows because they can't take it. Can't take these personalities.
Yeah.
Speaking of personalities, hopefully you all can take these personalities because not only has there been, I mean, the whole show, Matt and I celebrated 150 episodes of the Radcast last week.
Which we didn't even mention it on that episode.
I was going to say, I don't remember you mentioning this.
I didn't even realize it. Well, I knew we were kind of counting, we weren't even like counting down to it, but I knew we were close and it wasn't
we talked about it.
It wasn't until you posted it, I was like, oh, 150, there it
is. As I was editing it, I was like, oh, I meant to make a mental note to mention how welcome, you know, this is, you know, the Radcast is our 150th episode because we commemorated episode 50. We, of course, commemorated 100. Yeah. Even when we reached 200 podcast episodes, we commemorated that. But we did not commemorate the 150 mark. So we're doing
welcome
it
to
now.
151.
Welcome to 151. So thank you for joining us for all those 150 episodes. You're familiar, obviously, with these two personalities, Matt and I, but we have another personality joining us.
Who you should also be.
You're probably also familiar.
You're also familiar with.
I am the number one draw.
I mean, the numbers don't lie.
Honestly, I was going to say the numbers don't lie.
Like, sure.
This is not hubris. Yeah. Like,
sure.
Like statistical evidence to this.
Especially like I mean, I look at those numbers often, and I'm like, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Right.
But not that we would ever deny it.
No, absolutely not. We give her flowers, and we let her know. Yeah. Like, this episode's here.
I have my Encino Man shirt. Yes. I have my trophy.
Yes. Yes.
I do sometimes brag at work. I can't brag a lot because then people want to know what the podcast is, and then I have to be choosy because I work at a school, and it's a Christian school, and most of the people are pretty like open and stuff, but you just have to be careful, and so I don't get to brag about it as much. Like, I would love to have my trophy on my desk at work. I cannot do that because I'd have to like.
Here's
as much as I love to promote your podcast, when it comes to work,
everyone,
I can only promote it to certain people.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's understandable. So welcome back into the Radcast, episode 151, just as important as 150.
Yeah.
Mainly just because we forgot to mention it's 150. Yeah. So make it up for it now. But we have another kind of different type of Christmas episode.
Yeah.
I would like to say, for those of you, we mentioned it last week, for those of you, Hanukkah has ended not too long after this is dropping. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're on, this is dropping the Friday before Christmas, so of course, Merry Christmas to those who celebrate, but also the day after is Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
So, happy Kwanzaa to those who celebrate. Also, Boxing Day. Happy Boxing
Day
to all you Canadians.
Is that the one that you've been saying every week, or were you
Bodhi Day.
What is Bodhi Day?
I think it's Buddhist.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that was one I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, so I looked it up because I wanted to recognize everybody
it's like 12 major holidays in December.
I wanted to recognize a lot of, especially from some of the major religions.
Yeah.
But Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Boxing Day to all you crazy Canadians.
Yeah. Get in the ring.
Yes.
Get in there.
I know.
Put up your dukes.
It's not those kinds of boxes.
Right.
But we are back. Last week, we talked one specific episode, of course, of an iconic television show, The Simpsons, Marge Be Not Proud, a classic. And then we're also talking another isolated kind of non-canon.
Like Christmas special. Self-contained.
Yeah, from another iconic television series.
This one not a classic at all.
I didn't even know it existed till you sent it to me.
Yeah.
So
it was one of those straight to video efforts to capitalize
on. Did it go to video or did they air it on Fox Kids or
I wouldn't be surprised if they aired it on Fox Kids, but it mainly was like a straight to video type deal.
Purely capitalizing on the popularity of the Power Rangers.
Absolutely volcano hot levels at the time it came out in October 1994. And you can hear all about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series. Well, where can they hear all about it, Matt?
You can hear about it on our Instagram. You can. You can hear about it. You can go back to our archives in all of May. This whole May, we chronicled the history of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. We did a season by season retrospective. Mm-hmm. Re-uploaded our review of the Power Rangers movie. Did a Radcast Ranger Ramble with Tyler Crandall about it. We the whole month of May was about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
We exhausted ourselves essentially watching 100 plus episodes in a month span of
a labor of love.
Yeah. Every time, you know, I barely ever fast forwarded that intro. I still get the biggest smile on my face when they say it's Morphin time. Anytime you hear all those wands,
they didn't even use that, and they didn't even use like the theme or Morphin. I mean, just nothing.
Exactly. And we'll get into like why this was made, why there was effort put into this, and just like I said, it wasn't canon. So the lack of continuity, especially from someone who just revisited the series in the order everything aired.
Oh yeah.
Like it was
with the history attached to it.
Exactly. It was infuriating to see some of the lack of continuity. Yep. I mean, I already get frustrated at lack of continuity and things, but this was just it was glaring. It was almost like they thought kids were stupid.
Yeah. But pretty sure Haim Saban thought kids were stupid.
Yeah.
Yep. We're talking about Alpha's Magical Christmas. Now, this was made in an effort to try and put Alpha 5. You know Alpha 5. You know,
everyone's favorite Alpha 5.
Yeah, exactly. tried to make him more
Everyone
popular.
Everyone loves a good, anxious, frantic side character.
Yes. But almost put him on the level of popularity of the Power Rangers, which that is a fruitless endeavor.
Yeah.
But they made it in order to try and up the popularity of Alpha. But the only problem is, like Samantha mentioned, all of those hallmarks of the Power Rangers that made it popular thus far were not included.
No.
When people think of Christmas, they think of Alpha. Aye, aye, aye.
But you have to ask, so like, correct me if I'm wrong about the mythology, but Alpha and Zordon and all these, they're from another planet.
Yeah.
Like,
no, they are.
Why? Yeah. What do they know about Christmas and light? I mean, like,
I don't know.
What do they have? They have like nothing to do with Christmas. I would think for them, it'd just be like, whatevs.
Okay.
Like, you know?
The Rangers are helping some guy named Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, it's like so many times in the show, they almost sometimes roll their eyes at some of the dramatic stuff these teenagers go through. I mean, for the longest time, Zordon scoffed at the idea of these teenagers. Like, teenagers are too dramatic. We need, adults and, like, mature individuals. Yeah. So it was
Working with teenagers, I totally agree with Zordon. I don't know why we put the fates of the world in the hands of teenagers. You need to put them in, like, 40-something-year-old moms.
Exactly.
Those people need to have the fate
You've
of
experienced
the world
a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. So it was released on video October 19th, 1994, and there's two. It's on YouTube for those of you that would like
or
to watch.
Desperate to waste 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially watch a 25-minute video of just Christmas carols.
Alpha and little children from all around the world singing Christmas carols. Yeah, we'll get into how.
Yeah, I was say it's one.
I have a lot written about all of that.
It's one of the main, you know, problematic things here. But there's a couple uploads on YouTube. There's one that doesn't have like the what was on the VHS on there, and then there's like a 30-minute one that has the VHS open.
Okay,
which so you can guess which one I watched.
Probably that one.
Yeah, on the VHS, advertising everything Mighty Morphin Power Rangers that was on the market, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The 13 VHSs, which all have behind-the-scenes footage and a music video, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers cassettes, become a Junior Ranger by joining the fan club, and you get a box with Power Ranger swag. Now available, the official Mighty Morphin Power Ranger karate video hosted by your instructor, Jason David Frank.
Obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I watched like 10 minutes of it once, and I was like, this is actually like really informative.
Yeah.
And like
he's been good. He's been teaching martial arts since he was like 15.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't surprised. Yeah. But it's one of those things where like sometimes certain things get watered down depending on the age group they're marketing to. But I was like, this is actually like really a little more mature level of thinking
type
things.
Like you could conceivably put this on for your kid and they could actually learn something useful.
Get the ideas of martial arts.
Yeah.
The last thing was actually a non-Power Rangers related thing, a straight-to-video movie called Christmas Reunion, and the IMDb description was, an orphan wishes he were closer to his grandfather, but it's only when he meets Santa Claus that he makes an important discovery about his family. And I theorize he finds out his grandfather orchestrated the death of the boy's parents. Now the boy and Santa must team up to bring Grandpa to justice.
I would watch that too.
Nobody has any culture, so it's just probably some stupid saccharine sappy thing.
Yes, yeah. His grandpa's probably Santa.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, are they?
Just call it my grandpa Santa. And he's got like a what?
Look put on Leslie Nielsen in there, Santa, not yeah. James Coburn.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Leslie Nielsen should play the little boy.
Listen here, Santa.
Listen here, Santa. My parents are dead, see? I'm directionless in this life.
This special starts. Alpha greets the audience as he puts gifts at a Christmas tree. He's like,
oh, I didn't see you there.
And he says he's full of Christmas cheer, but it wasn't that way earlier that morning. Alpha feels alone because the Rangers aren't there. However, Zordon's there, so you're technically not alone. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you can't feel alone inside. Inside of his circuit board body, he feels alone with his soul and everything. But he misses the Rangers, but the Rangers are off helping Santa Claus.
Something tells me that this isn't just because it's Christmas. This is like a daily conversation between Alpha and Zordon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That Alpha's missing the Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there are whole episodes on the inside.
There are whole episodes where he leaves the command center to go try and be a Ranger.
Mm-hmm. To be a human.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you were constructed for a specific reason. Where is all this soul coming
from? See, this is making this Christmas special all the more troubling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alpha's got some real issues.
Yeah.
And it becomes very clear in this Christmas program what those issues are.
And also, when you watch this, do you look at Alpha as like, oh, he's just a robot, so nothing, none of this is problematic? Or do you view him as an adult? Like, which makes the stuff with kids even weirder.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all just... Just when your issues result in 20 counts of child endangerment and kidnapping,
because
does it matter?
Well, Zordon's like, I have a present for you, and he used his teleportation.
That's even worse.
Yeah,
Zordon planned it.
Yeah, exactly. So he teleported all these kids from around the world, who their families are like, hopefully they don't walk into their bedroom, and like now they're filing a missing persons report.
The second time through, they show the kids are trimming their trees. And so I started to wonder, did the kids just disappear from trimming their trees?
Oh, yeah.
And then you notice there's like this close up on a teddy bear. And I was like, is that like flipping Zordon's nanny cam? And like, that's how he chooses the kids? Like, what is happening?
Perfect.
I was like, they kidnapped children. And these children are like way too happy. Even if they know who the Power Rangers are, they don't know who Alpha is.
No.
They've never been to the command center. Though, in rewatching old Power Rangers episodes, it's quite possible everyone knows where the command center is.
It's not like it's hidden.
They did not try and hide. Like, they did a terrible job of hiding their identities. They were not good at being secretive. Like, I would not be surprised if we found out years later that all these episodes of Power Rangers were actually just found footage of them taping themselves.
Exactly.
This is not a secret. So that's the only explanation I have for these kids not being frightened is like, that's how bad they are at hiding who they are.
Mm-hmm. It's like, even a child can use deductive reasoning and be like, oh yeah, these guys are the Power Rangers.
Right. So maybe they do know who Alpha and Zordon are.
Yeah.
That's
the Power Rangers, all the Power Rangers hold like food drives in the command center.
Yeah. They're always dressed in their respective colors.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the most virtuous of all the teenagers in their school and their community.
And they're never around when the shit hits the fan.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Which is, of course, you know, something we pointed out and like we laugh about because it is one of those things to where you're so focused on presenting them in one way, but then so many people pick up on like, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
We never see, you know, Jason and Tommy in the same room as the Red and Green Rangers.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So it's just funny. That is one of those funny, like glaring things because at this point, and this comes up, I noticed this later. So it comes in October 1994, and it was more than likely, I mean, I want to say it was more than likely filmed in September, but knowing their production schedule, yeah. It probably was filmed
the day before.
The day before.
Yeah. So it's funny some of the things that they do, because we're not going to go in order here, but yeah. One of the continuity
essentially
things,
is Alpha's alone in the command center. The Power Rangers, Power Rangers are off helping Santa Claus. Alpha's alone for Christmas, and so to help, Zordon teleports and abducts a bunch of kids to sing Christmas
carols.
It's
supposed to be
with
this for sure. Sentimental thing to where you bring in all these kids
It's the unreleased Die Hard movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Alphonse Gruber. He's called Alpha because he's the oldest brother, but he's like the black sheep of the family. Yeah. Can you imagine being the black sheep of the Gruber family?
He's a robot and everyone else is human.
I thought it was just because he liked to kidnap children.
That too. He likes to do it. I do this every Christmas.
Oh, go find your oil can, Alpha.
Leave me alone, Hans. Where are my detonators?
Alpha is one big detonator.
Yeah.
But then who's crawling through the air ducts or the Deus Machina basement of the command center? I say Deus Machina because they never mention it or go through it until
Goldar is actually a good guy because he's there to rescue the kids. Because even Rita's like, I would never do that.
That's right. Yeah.
Power Rangers.
Goldar is John McClane.
Yeah, exactly. Goldar was an underutilized character.
Yeah. Him and Rito Revolto and Power Rangers Zeo.
Actually, he wasn't. But
Power Rangers Zeo lose their memories and forget that they're bad. So now they're in cahoots with Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
So
I will say in the comics, they do. Highlight Goldar as he is Rita's most powerful warrior, and he's an intimidating badass,
which is good.
Yeah,
which is good. But
it has nothing to do with this.
Yes, but part of
just in Goldar's defense,
He is not underutilized. Yeah. He's a goofball.
But it is the video essentially. I mean, we mentioned. I mean, it's no joke. It's 10 songs and it's 25 minutes of just a thinly veiled, quote unquote. Plot.
And they're not even original songs.
No.
No, it's Saban's wet dream.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a bunch of miners singing songs in the public domain.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Cost him nothing.
While he collects so
he
much
collects
money.
He collects all the money.
Even if it is songs that mention the birth of Christ, which there's been very little as far as religion goes that's mentioned in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So it's just funny to see kind of the juxtaposition of this thing that has to do with mysticism and magic, especially
we're celebrating the birth of Jesus.
Yeah. And then you turn around and then you talk about
who's Jesus?
Christ. Yeah. The Christ, the Savior, is born. It's like,
what does that line mean?
You have him robot guy, Alpha.
Yeah. Robot guy.
He's like, has his finger, it does the classic scratching his head.
What is Jesus?
And then you have Zordon, who Zordon is kind of like, he is.
What is the ascension?
but Zordon is this omnipotent power in a way. So if he has nanny cans and teddy bears.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, well, Jesus, back in, blah, 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 blah.
I would have loved if this movie would have been a heavy-handed religious movie.
Yes, Alpha, you miss the Rangers, much like those who don't have Christ in their heart miss salvation. As it says, narrow is the way that leads to life. Narrow is the road that leads to life.
What is that from?
The Sermon on the Mount. Isn't Saban Jewish? either way.
Yeah.
I didn't do extensive research into this, but I think his wife wrote this and directed it.
Okay.
I don't know. Somebody, a female with the last name Saban. So it could have been his wife. So it could have been his like, hey, Hob, can I get on the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger action? Sure you can. God bless America.
Yeah.
Let's go to the row house. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
But
pain don't hurt.
Just
starts quoting Roadhouse.
Yeah, let's get back to it. But essentially, it's like the kids are there, and they're like, "Hey, Alpha, yada yada yada," and he's like,
"Yeah." They immediately start hugging.
Children,
him.
Not like, where am I? I always thought it looked like one of those pictures with those, those poor children holding their hands out to Mother Teresa as she walks people touching Jesus's garment being healed.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what this is like.
Yeah.
But they're all singing
who
songs.
Me?
But
which
like
will
the
go
power
with that,
for me.
With the weird Heaven's Gate imagery
towards
the end.
but like they sing a carol and then it's like,
oh,
why are you smiling, Thomas? It's like, because I'm thinking of presents. And then they talk about Santa Claus. I'm like, that's not what Thomas is thinking about. He's thinking about that dance Rosie Perez does at the beginning of Do the Right Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's why I have a smile on my face.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, what do you like to do with your family, Stephen? And he's like, when it's cold outside, we like to go on a sleigh ride. And it's like, do they have jingle bells? You all know jingle bells, right? And
I imagine the first cut being like, you know what jingle bells are. Yes.
Don't sing.
sing. It's like but then, Batman and Robin. Sing.
But it's just, but then it's funny because he's like, oh, yes, Steven, jingle bells. Ha ha ha. Thank you. Laughing all the way.
And then, and then he comes back in
English. And he's like, yes, that's great. But it's too cold outside, stupid, so we need to go into where it's warm. Here, surround me. Here, hug me. We feel you're warm. My circuits are freezing.
Help me.
Alpha Goes Ape Shit is one of the Power Rangers episodes. Yeah. Alpha is a crisis of self. Because apparently him gaining emotions is like a symbiotic relationship.
The longer I'm around you humans, the more I act like you.
So like I
train you your life force.
He starts having hot flashes. So he's like, help
he's
me.
Having hot flashes.
Help me, someone cool
Alpha
me down.
Alpha goes through menopause.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how much gender, you know, gender norms apply to
robots. I can be whoever you want me to be.
That you greedy is, robot.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Exactly. But it's just so funny. Like we had mentioned, there's not much to this special. It's essentially like with it being non-canon, it also not being consistent with what was being shown on television. This came out in October of 1994 with the intention of people flying to go buy it off store shelves or rent it from Blockbuster. So obviously, kids watched it, and let's say on Fox Kids they aired it as a special, like a Christmas special. They have footage while they're singing. Ironically, the children are singing, I'll be home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And they've been abducted from their homes.
But then they show these random clips of the show from that point on. But they're using...
It's like a reel of Harlem Globetrotters or something. Yeah, exactly. I was like, what the hell?
But so they're singing that, and it's the people at Saban using what they had at their disposal.
Yeah.
Now, again, if you listen to Mighty Morphin May, you hear how chaotic the production schedule was.
Gosh, yeah.
So they had episodes in the can that hadn't been released on television yet. So that means the power transfer hasn't been addressed yet. Now the behind the scenes stuff is still going on. So at the end, we see Billy, Kim, and Tommy because at this point, while they
the good Rangers that
Jason, Trini, and Zach, you know, Walter Jones, Tui Trang, and Austin St. John were gone at this point. So obviously they didn't have them
working on world peace.
Yeah, working on world peace,
living in their cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was in real life.
But the thing is, they show clips of Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, who have not been introduced on television yet. So if you're a child watching this as soon as it comes out, you're like, who are they? And then when
Peace Conference.
Yeah, yeah. But when Billy, Tommy, and Kim come down, first of all, Tommy is in the Green Ranger outfit, which he's been the White Ranger for a month at this point on television. So that's
It was in the cleaners.
Yeah, okay.
He should have that suit to begin with. the green power's gone.
Well, we're just helping Santa, so let's relax here. I don't need the White Ranger power.
Yeah.
But
it's snowing outside. I'll get lost.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll never be able to find me.
Exactly. But it's funny because it's like, oh, where are the other Rangers? It's like,
listen here, like Dr. Phil shows up.
Yeah.
Let's get real. You are a robot. You have abandonment issues. Is that correct?
Obviously.
Yeah.
He's like, they're my best friends. And I'm like, oh, Alpha, everybody thinks the Power Rangers are their best friends.
Yeah. Do they know that?
Yeah, do they know they're your best friends?
Sure
Has
they are,
buddy. Anyone checked Alpha's closet for a shrine?
Yeah, their big head up here is an enabler. he's the one that adopted all these children. What do you have to say for yourself, big head? I'm not going to comment on your chrome dome because I got one atop my skull, too. Yeah. Anyhow...
anyway,
how?
but
So where am I at here? Where am I at in my notes?
Power Rangers showed up. Yeah. Continuity errors.
So it's like, where are the others?
You like skipped all the way to the end.
Oh yeah, we'll dial back to the fate of the children. But just essentially, just when touching on the inconsistency, just with people showing up who haven't shown up, quote unquote, in canon yet, meaning on television. It's like, where are the others? It's like, they went home to, you know, be with their families, but here are their message. And it's Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, who clearly, like, they had this special in their mind, so they just took the actors probably on set while they were filming some of the power transfer episodes, and they're like, Merry Christmas, everybody! And it's, again, three characters.
It's August.
Yes. Three characters.
Our Happy New Year.
Yeah, not just who haven't gone through the power transfer, but who haven't shown up on TV yet. And then you know, the other three are still at the peace conference, and the kids are like, what peace conference?
Right. We don't know what's happening.
Yeah. But
spoiler alert. Yeah. The peace conference failed.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's what happens when you just isolate three kids from the same place instead of getting kids from around the world.
Well, they if you remember, they're the Angel Grove representatives, so I'm sure they had San Diego.
I remember now.
Yes, okay.
So all of California was represented at the World Peace Conference.
Yeah.
Clearly, this was organized by an American.
Yes.
Truly.
Yeah.
God bless America.
But of course, dialing back to the children. Can we think about the children? So obviously it's problematic, but the children see nothing wrong with it. So they're baking, they're decorating cookies and making gingerbread houses and singing their songs. And then at the end, they all get ushered off. You had mentioned like a Heaven's Gate-esque, walk into the bright light, children.
So, okay. So here, what did I write about this? I wrote down, because they're singing Silent Night.
Yeah.
And you're just like, as they walk off into this like Heaven's Gate looking type of door. Ooh. And you're just like, is this a threat? Or are you guys like making a pact with Alpha that you're going to like take this secret to your grave, which judging by the light is imminent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is... I just wanted to be like, no, children, don't walk into the light.
Don't trust them. We can't get another montage of just them, like, being
going
with their family.
Home.
Yeah, like, showing up at home, you know, with the police surrounding the house.
Well, it's like every time the alarm went off and Alpha freaked out, I'm like, of course he's jumping. It's like, the cops coming. What the hell's happening?
Because the alarm means danger. Like, they look through the viewing globe to see what the danger is. So it's just funny. It came immediately after he's like, Santa visits all good children. And then the alarm goes off.
Burp, burp. Oh, no, like, Santa's coming.
Oh, no, my bullshit alarm.
That's right.
No, no, Alpha. Everything's okay. It's like, oh, whew.
Well, as they're walking out the little Heaven's Gate door, Alpha's like, be sure to quickly go to sleep so Santa can come. And I'm just like, take the Kool-Aid and you'll go to sleep quickly.
Take these pills. They'll help you forget.
Now look directly into the light like a Men in Black type thing where they get their memories wiped.
Well, you guys are like making it night. Like I'm going full dark here.
Oh, no.
I have cracks on my paper about the presents that he gives them or have their parents' heads in it. Like a scene out of 7.
I'm your dad now.
Exactly.
But
all you'll need is Alpha. I love you. All hail Jehovah.
When they they said at the end, they're like, we have a gift for you, Alpha. And I knew they were going to say love, and I still went,
I bring you love.
Thank
you for gift wrapping it.
Thank you for gift wrapping it. And then, at the end, the Rangers show up and they all, sing. Well, three of them show up.
If I were one of the kids, I would be the whole time be there like, oh, yeah, this is all nice and all Alpha. But, like, I want to see the Power Rangers. Where are the Power Rangers?
Exactly.
And then at the end, after he ushers the kids away, that's when the Power Rangers showed up. If I were one of the kids, I'd be like, what the hell? We could have stuck around for, like, a couple extra minutes so I could talk to the Power Rangers.
Because this is Alpha's. This is Alpha's day.
Alpha's dream.
Yeah,
exactly. This is a fantasy.
Yeah.
But that exact attitude, Matt, that you mentioned that those kids in the special are like, hey, what the hell? I'm sure every child who rented this, because on the cover...
Like, we're the Power Rangers.
But on the cover, Alpha, is he's taking up prime real estate on the VHS box. But in the bottom corner, it's the Power Rangers with Santa Claus. So you would expect
a skit, and I'm sure
it was marketed as like they probably showed footage of the Power Rangers with Santa or the Power Rangers somewhere, or a Power Ranger be like, buy this VHS tape or go to hell. Buy this VHS tape or go to hell. Yeah. But they show up, and again, it's just Billy, Tommy, and Kim helmetless.
Yeah.
And there is one small little thing in the viewing globe. Santa Claus is with the Rangers, and the Rangers are pawing at him. And he's like,
don't worry, Alpha.
They're petting Santa.
Nice Santa Claus.
Yeah. Nice Santa.
A little lower there, Billy.
Oh, yes.
I meant Trini. No, even grosser.
Yeah, that's worse.
Oh, look what I found. Some mistletoe.
I guess it was the 90s.
But it is one of those things where there was a quick thing with the Rangers in costume with Santa. So of course the two of the gods of a child's mind, Santa and the Power Rangers. So worlds collide. But all we get is Alpha, and at the end, of course, it's the three Rangers. But they sing much like the familiar characters in Star Wars. In the Star Wars Holiday Special, where we get, at least in that, we get intermittent shots of Han and Chewie.
Yeah.
And then Luke is like, aw, don't worry, Shasta, or whatever whatever Chewbacca's wife's name is, I can't remember. It's like, tell Lumpy I say hello. Of course, I remember the son Lumpy's name. Tell Lumpy and Grandpa I say hello. Come on, let me see a smile.
Oh,
and he's caked in makeup. Like, it's like,
Shasta, you'd look a lot prettier if you smile.
Come on, give us a smile, love. Yeah. And then we get a bunch of nothing side characters like Harvey Korman and B. Arthur.
Yeah.
And it's an Art Carney.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we get Leia, Han, and Luke as they sing the Life Day carol.
Yeah.
And they all go off in robes into a bright light.
Right.
So it's very much like the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Though I would say this was still more watchable than that.
Which is saying something.
Because this is, I would say this special had the top-notch quality you only find in evangelical children's church programs.
Yes.
I mean.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
It was.
Yeah. Yep.
It was great. It was like watching a fan vid from YouTube circa 2005.
Exactly.
It was
lovely. I love it. I don't love it, but I love that idea.
Yeah.
I love that description. Also, what it had going for it, again, was only 25 minutes. Which the holiday special was like an hour.
That's too much.
Yes, exactly. If you're going to do some bullshit like this, at least make it short.
Short.
Yeah.
Like, if you just sing Christmas carols, at least you weren't trying to... I wish you weren't trying to push some sort of narrative I think if you're going to go non-canon, maybe just like, just sing songs. But
at least have some monsters show up.
They couldn't even do that. Yeah.
Couldn't even have Rita or anything in there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of kept waiting for them to bust in, and they never did. And
Christmas.
I was just like,
who needs Christmas?
Yeah, is like an Ebenezer Scrooge type character. I don't know.
Get out of here, you old Grinch.
Maybe the Grinch shows up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anything.
All I know is that Power Ranger or Alpha's Magical Christmas, there were Power Rangers like Christmas centric episodes.
Yeah,
I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger is one of them from season two. I watched one from
which sounds strangely racist, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. But
they were all White Rangers.
Speaking of being borderline racist, which is a great way to start any holiday discussion, we've probably mentioned on the show before, every now and then on YouTube I'll find these people who upload these blocks of like childhood television stations, so like a Fox Kids block or a SNICK block or something like that. And they don't put a date on it because a lot of the time it's just an amalgamation of all these things. They just want to make something that's nostalgic, which I appreciate. And I watched one that was just uploaded from like 1996, or at least the Power Rangers Zeo episode from 1996. And it was a Christmas episode, which it's supposed to show all the different cultural things around the December time. So not just Christmas. You want to teach kids that Tanya, the character Tanya, celebrates Kwanzaa. And then they have this character who shows up in one or two episodes, who I forgot his name, who celebrates Hanukkah.
Okay.
And he, they're like, hey, so, hey, Doug, what's that? And he's like, this is my menorah. And he's like, and this is my yarmulke. And he looks
these
like,
are my latkes. This is my dreidel.
And it's not even like his voice. It's like his voice is the part that says, this is my, and then yeah. It's like, dreidel.
This is my
potato pancakes.
Yarmulke.
Spelled
Yarmulke. Yarmulke. And then
yeah, the person doesn't know how to doesn't know that that's
it
how it's spelled.
It's like Siri, so it's like this is my Yarmulke.
Yarmulke.
Let's go grab our yarmulkes. It's like a Christopher Guest. Yeah. And then they have like Rocky and Adam. They're like, hey, Tanya, what's that you're doing? Oh, I'm lighting the candle, the seven candles for Kwanzaa, which means that, like, Kwanzaa, what's that? And they're like, Kwanzaa is this, oh, cool. The best part of all holiday things is the food.
What are we eating?
Yeah, but they're setting up for a party at
I've never had African cuisine before.
At the youth center, they're setting up a party. And, like, yeah. King Mondo, the new big baddie, sends down his people to, like, mess up the Rangers and their friend, their Jewish friend's joy. And and it takes the singing of a small child to free them of the curse.
Yeah.
So I guess tying it back around to the singing of small children in this. And in this episode, it's supposed to be like there's dissension in the ranks. Yeah. So they're
because of religious differences.
Well, the yes. thing is they're getting dangerously close to certain, you know, things that could be seen as not anti-Semitic, but something that could be seen as like backup Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hold our horses here. But like their Jewish friend is like, hey, where's my menorah? And Tommy's like, who cares about your menorah?
Yeah.
This is about Christmas.
Did you check your ass?
why don't you get out of here? And I was just like, hold on. I'm wincing, waiting for a right. slur. Yeah, and right. then, like, and then.
But it's part of the bad spell,
yeah,
though,
it's
right?
Yeah, it's part exactly. of the bad
it's
spell.
It's contextual.
And
yeah.
then,
contextual.
Like, and then Tanya is, they're talking about, it, you know, Christmas is the most important time. He's like, Christmas? What about my Kwanzaa stuff? And Rocky's like, what about your Kwanzaa stuff? And I was like, uh-oh.
I'm very uncomfortable now.
And Adam's like, I don't know what you all are bitching about. We don't celebrate anything in Korea.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's this all going? And then a small child saves the day. Yeah. I'm like, sorry for almost
you
the racist
are
things.
All important.
But
God, there's a couple holes in that because yeah. like they do actually have a Thanksgiving holiday. But it happens earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And
yes.
they do Christmas now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do. Because there's plenty of Christianity
oh, yeah.
over there, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm an expert in Korea now.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Early in the episode, Kat's like, we celebrate Christmas in August. I brought some shrimp. And I was like, oh, shrimp from the Barbie, huh?
They don't celebrate Christmas in August. August.
But she's
it just
Australian.
Happens to be summer. They still celebrate in December.
She
it's just
said it.
Summer
I didn't.
Yeah. in December.
Listen, she's the
Listen,
Australian.
She is Australian.
It.
I'm sure she saw the script and she's like, oi, hey.
Over here.
Tie me kangaroo down. Over here.
Remember me. Hello.
This is bullshit.
This is wrong, mate. This is wrong. We celebrate Christmas in Australia in August because that's probably when Jesus was born.
No.
Hey, hello, throw me a boomerang.
Yeah. There's a lot wrong with that.
But they're all white, so.
Yes. So it doesn't matter. She's not even really Australian.
Yes, yeah, she is.
Is she really?
Yeah. Yeah.
She should have said something then because they did not celebrate Christmas.
She
should have
told me that.
August.
She should have broke the fourth wall and been like, I really am Australian, mate. This isn't fake.
No, what I mean is, I just, that really bothers me. I want to go back to 1996 and be like, this is
me too.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
They do not celebrate. Time doesn't. Oh.
Good day. Christmas time already.
The person.
It's not even September.
It's like the person writing it knew just enough to get it wrong. They were like, Well, it's summer at Christmas time in Australia, so that must mean they celebrate Christmas in August, because August is summer.
Why don't we consult the Australian of the cast?
Logic is infallible.
Speaking of infallible, let's also not rule out the fact that I might have quoted it incorrectly. All I'm saying is she's like, we celebrate Christmas at a time where not everyone else does. Here's some shrimp from the Bobby.
Right.
Oh, great shrimp. And then Rocky's kind of a long,
I'm allergic to shellfish.
I like how I never once second guessed that you got the line right. Never occurred to me that you said it wrong.
It's because I said it with confidence. Yeah. Power perceived is power achieved.
Exactly.
As Ernie Hudson says in The Substitute with Tom Berenjar.
Exactly.
Okay.
Check out The Substitute. It's a good movie. Either way, coming back down to earth for a little bit. Let's round out this episode. Thank you, Samantha, always for joining us.
Sure.
Spreading your Christmas cheer.
Yes.
This is a fun thing, because usually except for 2020, we've recorded with you every December. We've been podcasting, at least with the show.
Yeah.
So with the Radcast and Sucktastic.
I was thinking of that as well. Yeah.
Because last year you recorded The Princess Bride. I mean, we got three episodes
and then I got
out of
COVID.
Was that in December last year?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We recorded on Christmas Eve.
I was remembering with Sucktastic when I did
The
Spirit of Christmas. Yeah. And I remembered when we did a
Emmett Otter
Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had forgotten that last year, because it wasn't a Christmas
episode. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Topic.
Right.
We recorded on Christmas Eve.
But we recorded on Christmas Eve, yes.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. Yes. Again, thank you, Samantha, for joining us, as always. And a Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa, and hopefully you all enjoy... Well, I want to say the rest of the year. We actually have one more episode.
Yeah.
On tap.
It's not a Christmas episode.
No, yeah. Tentatively recording... in the next week, which is just a couple days before Christmas. Yeah. It should be releasing at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, happy holidays to you and yours. And until the next time.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
And be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? See you next time.